The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Well, good afternoon again. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors through Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Just want to make a couple of observations, kind of drawing our attention to Christ as we look to his word. So feel free to read along with me or just listen to these words of the birth of Christ. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration of Quirinius. When Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, a time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen and had been told to them. My hope for us is that we might just, for a moment, as we set our mind on Christ, treasure him. Treasure him as we think upon what God has done for us in and through Christ. What was Mary treasuring Christ for in this moment? She's treasuring what the shepherds had told to her, what they had experienced, what they had seen, and what they had heard. At the birth of Jesus is this good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. In this scene, what we are seeing is God taking on flesh and coming to dwell among us. Like something of cosmic significance is happening in this moment so that the Christ would bear our sin and our guilt for us. Around this time of year, kids, we maybe you remember that song, Santa is Coming to Town. It's really kind of weird. But you better watch out. Here's my Christmas gift to you. I will not sing. That is my gift. I will read. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. Kind of weird. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. That's really hard to do all year long, isn't it? Like somehow, some way to be good all the time, all year long. Because there's someone up there somewhere kind of looking down on you, watching whether or not you're obeying what your parents say. Imagine now if we had to live like that with God. If God, who can see everything, who can see every move, expects us to obey him at every step of the way in order to receive his love, his forgiveness, his acceptance, in order for us to be his children. Well, this is exactly why God became flesh, because that is so difficult for us. We're not able to live up to that standard. And so Jesus came for us to be good in our place, because we so often find it difficult to be good because of our sin. And so in this moment, God takes on flesh, becoming a child so that we might become children of God. And at the thought of this, the angels burst into song, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And at hearing this, at seeing all that they've seen, hearing this message from the angel, the shepherds make haste. They run off to Bethlehem to find Mary and Joseph and this baby Jesus. And when they had saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary, gazing at this newborn baby, her firstborn son, hearing those words that the angels had, or that the shepherds had received from that angel, she treasures that moment. She treasures those words. It's the idea of holding on to them tightly. Kids, maybe this morning you received, or adults, maybe this morning you received a gift that you held on to tightly. In this moment, the gift to Mary are these words about her son. And she is holding them tightly as this great treasured gift. Because in her midst, as she ponders over all of these things, she's given a picture of what God is going to do in and through Christ. And so she ponders, she thinks on, she mulls over all that she has heard from these shepherds. There's a depth of significance in their words that she maybe doesn't even quite grasp fully in this moment. But she's thinking on it, she's pondering over it. In her arms is God in the flesh who has come to take away the sins of the world. And so the question becomes for us, how will we respond to the shepherd's words this afternoon? As they share those words with Mary and Joseph, the crowds marvel at all that they're saying, but they don't believe. And in contrast to that, we know that that's the case because there's a contrast made in verse 19 to say, unlike the crowds who wonder at, who marvel at, Mary treasured up these things and pondered over them. And upon seeing her response, the shepherds go away in verse 20, believing and glorifying God. And the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and as it had been told to them. And so the question is, how about you and me? How will we respond this afternoon? Is Christmas anything more than a heartwarming, sentimental tale to you? You see, when we think upon the significance of these words about Jesus, we're reminded that Christmas is the true story of humanity's rescue and redemption. And the question is, will you marvel at these words like they're some sentimental tale? Or will you ponder the depth of God's love displayed to you in these truths about that newborn son, Jesus? And so every week for us as a church, we take part in the Lord's Supper, reminding ourselves of what God has done for us in Jesus. And it seems quite appropriate on Christmas afternoon to take part in the Lord's Supper together, because it's a reminder that Jesus was born into this world to take upon our sin, to give us life by his death. By his broken body, his shed blood, he has made a way for all those who have trusted in Christ to come into his family. And so if you know Jesus, whether you're a part, you call Life Connection home, or you're just here visiting with friends or family, if you've given your life over to Jesus, we want to invite you to come forward and to worship the risen Savior. To ponder, like maybe before we rush forward, we can ponder the depth and significance of these words. The words reminding us that God became flesh, dwelt among us to take away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words. The depth and the significance of what's happening in Luke chapter 2 are almost incomprehensible to us. The idea that God, you took on flesh, you dwelt among us, and you did that for our sake, our benefit, our welfare, taking on sin and guilt that is rightly ours, making a way that by virtue of faith and trust in Christ, we could come into your family. That the great gift of Christmas for all those who trust Christ is knowing you. And so in these moments, would you remind us of those realities? Remind us of the significance of fellowship and communion with you. And like Mary, might we treasure these words up. Might we mull over them. Might we ponder them, grasping at the significance of what you've done for us in Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.